Yes, here we are, episode 50 of NRL Live, the big 5-0 we've got there. They said we wouldn't make it, but we did. We've got a big week, of course, of rugby league, and I tell you what, all the off-field is really distracting the on-field. We're going to talk about both, of course. Supercoach, it's really coming down to that make or break time of the year during Origin. Some huge points put up this week. We're going to go through that and look at the split round, who you should have. And of course, Origin preview, we'll talk about all the off-field elements with Blake Ferguson, as well as the on-field stuff as well. Tigers MS is with us as always. How are you, mate?
Very good. Yourself?
Very good. And Pete, how are you, mate?
Pretty good. Thanks, guys. How are you?
Yeah, doing pretty good. Got a little bit of a croaky voice, a bit of a sore throat, so hopefully that won't affect things too much for the show, but we may as well get straight into it. And I know there's a lot of talking points out there, but let's just go back to last Friday and talk about some of the on-field stuff. The results: Cowboys 22, the Dragons 16, Seagulls 30, the Bulldogs 32, two Friday night upsets, and a couple of pretty thrilling games, really, particularly the Golden Point game there. The Bulldogs beat the Eagles. Canberra 24 defeated Penrith 12 on Saturday night, while Cronulla 32 accounted for the Eels 14. Sunday afternoon footy saw Cairns get a run. Souths 30 defeated the Gold Coast 24, while down in Melbourne, the Storm defeated the Knights 16-14 in a tight one. And Sunday night footy saw a pretty big upset. The Warriors 23 defeated the Roosters 12, while Monday night football, Brisbane Broncos far too strong for a pretty tepid West Tigers outfit, 32-12 that game. Looking at it from a Supercoach perspective, well, Paul Gallen certainly took advantage of a porous Eels defence. He top scored in the week there, 122 total points, while Albert Kelly, Adam Reynolds, both halfbacks running roughshod in Cairns there, coming up with equal second, 117 each. So huge game for those two teams, and perhaps not what we would have expected, Tigers MS, considering that both Souths and Gold Coast are usually pretty hard to score against, but maybe the weather contributed.
Yeah, I'd say it was. I did manage to cash that game, and there was towards the, you know, back end of the second half, I mean, it was 18-all at half time. It was just, seemed to be, I don't know, people slipping off a lot of tackles. Mm. There was a lot of good football being played as well, I guess. Nice and warm, and it's hard ground and all that kind of thing. But yeah, quite surprising, and very surprising, that Reynolds and Kelly both ended up with exactly the same points. They did a very good job. The other guy from that game who did a great job was Isaac Luke, who ended up with 91 points, which was pretty good. He scored a try and was, the difference. I thought the Gold Coast could have won that game. They were coming home strong, but they really didn't have the organisation required, which I'm sure will come with both, with two young halves.
Yeah, and interesting from a Supercoach perspective, because we may not have got that right, Tigers MS, but a lot of our predictions coming right this week. If you took our advice and made Cameron Smith captain, you'd be smiling. He scored 94 points and ended up 11th overall. And I know that we said must play David Simmons against the Raiders, and he repaid owners it did with 4th overall, 113 points. Your pick, Tigers MS, is Elijah Taylor. He's still doing it very well, 12th overall, while the Broncos, Josh Hoffman, Matt Gillette and Corey Parker all got in the top 10 against that team that is the worst against or for stopping Supercoach points, the West Tigers. And we did, of course, suggest in particular Josh Hoffman. So, speaking of sleepers of the round, maybe one that no one would have expected, the best really was Ngani Lumapé from the Warriors, 14th overall with 90 points, which shows the big names really did shine in round 14, and therefore brings us to what we learn. Origin players continue to share how it's done. Sure makes it life a bit tough for owners right now. They might want to shop them out for the Origin period, of course. Paul Gallen, Matt Gillette, Jonathan Thurston, Ryan Hoffman, Corey Parker, Cam Smith and Billy Slater all scored within the top 15. We will talk more Supercoach a little bit later in the show, of course, as we go through next week's games. And we're going to also give special mention to all the teams having a bye, just to let you know that bit of strategy. But right now, we've got to go straight into this week in league. And New South Wales are in disarray right now. Blake Ferguson stood down after a incident at a Cronulla nightclub in Sydney on Sunday night. And, of course, with the selection of Josh Dugan, on top of that, a Ferguson for game one. Pete, were the Blues selectors too quick to forgive past misgivings in selecting these two gentlemen?
Well, to be fair, I guess the New South Wales selectors probably expected these two men to behave with a bit of maturity. No one's been found guilty of anything so far, but why on earth, after so many incidents in the past with these two, were they out drinking together at all in the first place? Particularly down in Cronulla, where Blake Ferguson's probably not the number one pin-up boy, having left Cronulla in fairly controversial circumstances a few years ago, which sort of bagged the club and he shut the door on the way out. So, you know, it's never going to end nicely with these two going out together, and I think the two of them should never really go out like that together again. Like, why on earth did they not just have dinner together and then go back to Dugan's place for a few drinks if that's what they wanted to do, instead of taking a risk like that on Sunday night the night before coming into our...
With Instagram, even that wouldn't have saved them, let's face it. That was what they got in trouble for the time before. Some people just can't seem to stay out of trouble, it seems. Tigers MS, is it a case of New South Wales and the NRL now taking the heavy hand, or will these men, as Pete said, grow up?
Look, the NRL has showed their hand pretty early in this one and just said, has suspended Ferguson's registration, NRL registration, as well as whatever monetary fine he cops on top of that. Yeah, and they probably have to do that. I mean, to be, in all honesty, Australian footballers, doesn't matter which code, get a pretty good deal with that kind of thing. If it was to occur in American football or any other, like, big league like that, like the Premier League, their fines are far greater and their suspensions are far greater as well. Yeah, it's... I don't know. You just can't... It just does not make sense to anyone else that they went out and had a drink. Now, and it's not New South Wales' fault because the team actually hadn't got together yet. It was just these two guys off their own bat, decided to go out. And, yeah, to pick a bar in Cronulla... When you have two of the more volatile blokes on the gas there, yeah, oh, it's just unbelievable.
Both players had to basically tell porkies to their club, respective clubs, just to get away. I think Ferguson said he was going up to see family to get there early, and Dugan, I think he had medical appointments. Yeah. He used that as an excuse. So I mean, it's kind of like you know, the married man having an affair, and you know, like you start. When you start having to tell stories, you know you're heading down a dangerous path, and I'm afraid that's what's occurred there. Guys, they're not the only ones to... Well, let's say Dugan himself, apparently, he obviously is not alleged to have done anything, and Ferguson, it is only alleged at this point, but Dugan isn't in any trouble, so we shouldn't lump them together from that regard. But Ferguson's certainly not the only person in the news this week. George Burgess as well apparently got into a bit of an incident up in Cairns, so he's out for 2 weeks. Sounded like a bit of a drunken incident there. So the guys can't seem to stay out of the news after James Tamer, of course, the week before, which we discussed. And one other thing I'll mention as we're going to record this podcast tonight, Canberra Raiders have announced they're going to stand by Blake Ferguson at this stage, even though early in the year, apparently he was on his last warning. So a bit of a change of heart there by the Raiders. Guys, we need to keep moving along. Let's talk about a bit of, a little bit more off-field, I guess, on-field, off-field. Pete, Jamie Soward's been given his release. He's off to England. Just what happened down there at St. George? How did it end so quickly for the, I guess...
Well, Soward has been reported saying that it hasn't been a quick process, and there's been quite a lot of negotiation going on behind the scenes. And he gave a big thank you to Peter Dowse and the club for giving the opportunity to get over there. From a Dragons supporter's point of view, I've found the whole thing extraordinarily disappointing. This guy was behind Gallup, was man of the match in my eyes for New South Wales and Origin 2 in 2011, played fantastically through the last pass for the last try to give New South Wales a win, and one of the few to stand up in Game 3 in Brisbane. Mm. obviously there's been talk of discontent between Steve Price and Jamie Soward since the second half of 2011. Price was the assistant coach, ran onto the field and relayed a message, and the opposition players overheard Soward and he get into an argument on field. Apparently Soward berated him on field. He's on record now saying that he doesn't want to discuss his relationship with Pricey, but he said he'd be happy to catch up with all the other players for an orange juice. He said he's been in close contact with the club captain, Ben Cray. Gee, hasn't he had a tough first year as captain? During the weekend, you know, he's remained friends with the players. But, I find disappointing, and he has said he finds disappointing that he hasn't had the opportunity to say goodbye to the fans, and I find that really disappointing. I was going to give him a big farewell and wear my sweet and sour shirt that I bought a few years ago. what to do with that, I don't know. But, yeah, it's very disappointing from a fan's point of view.
Well, you'll probably get to see him next year. You just won't be wearing the correct jersey, I guess, in that regard.
I wish him best with London Broncos and with Penrith as well. Good luck to him.
Yeah, well, he's got big shoes to fill out at Penrith. And I tell you what, they're not doing too badly out there, but they do need a playmaker. They do need an organiser in the halves, so he will fit the bill very well for them. Let's talk about State of Origin. Pete mentioned Soward, of course, there a couple of years ago. Carney last year, finally James Maloney this year. So the revolving door of 5/8 has continued, but maybe they've settled on Maloney now, New South Wales. Both teams have made a couple of changes. David Shillington and Ashley Harrison have both been omitted for the Queenslanders. I thought Shillington was pretty hard done by there, but they've gone for a bigger man in Josh Papali, which is fair enough. And a bit of a surprise, Dally Cherry Evans is on the bench as well. Perhaps cover for Jonathan Thurston and Cooper Cronk. Both have had injury issues in the last couple of weeks. Certainly does look like they're taking away a strength there in losing Shillington, and they don't have any props on the bench there. But obviously, if either Cronk or Thurston goes down, they do want that cover. Chris McQueen comes into the starting lineup in the back row to make that adjustment work out. Otherwise, they would have had two backs on the bench. Of course, the Blues, well, they lose James Taumo and Blake Ferguson, as we've said earlier, to suspensions. And two guys that probably have deserved this for a while finally get the call-up, Aaron Woods and Nathan Merritt. But Tigers MS, it's a pretty tough gig for your opening origin to go up there, especially with the whole Blues camp in a bit of disarray at the moment.
Yeah, it is. But, I mean, it's one of those things. Is just this will be the real test of Laurie Daly's ability to get a bunch of blokes together playing for the one cause. I dare say that they're not really that this isn't really going to affect them. I mean, at the end of the day, the scoreline will tell the difference if that is the case. But these new guys coming in, it's a tough environment. But I think those kind of things can go one or two ways. It can either galvanise a side or it can rip them apart. And I think due to the fact that it's one of those cases where the guy's done something, well, the guys have done something wrong, allegedly, of course, it's really that balancing act, and it would be good to see how Daly addresses that.
Who's going to win?
I think Queensland will do it up there, setting up a mega game three.
And Pete, how do you see the game turning out?
Of course, the other change there is Josh Dugan coming in as fullback as well for the injured Jared Hayne, who's very unlucky. Great game in game one.
Of course.
I think that Laurie Daly has got time to get this team together and as you say, galvanise before tomorrow week. I think he can do that, and I think New South Wales might just scrape home. I think that Queensland are lacking a bit of firepower in the forwards. I think, I agree, it might be a backward step to drop David Shillington.
Yeah, look, I do agree in theory that the Queensland don't have their best 17 out there. Ben Hannett is not at full fitness. They couldn't pick him. Yep. Shillington being dropped, I just don't understand that at all. I know that they've, they are having some difficulty with injuries and cover and whatnot. And McQueen was very, very good, I must admit, off the bench last game. But I would have thought they would have retained Shillington, and perhaps Ben Teo might have been the unlucky victim there instead. mind you, up there, I think, and with the New South Wales camp sort of having these off-field issues, I think they'll win. I think it will go down to game three, as Tigers MS said as well, and it should be a crackerjack one if it does. This is NRL Live, and we will talk all about Origin, of course, 2 weeks' time after the game is done, and wrapping it all up. And you can get all the information you need about NRL, about Origin, about Supercoach at www.paulygsports.com, and you can download the podcast via iTunes as well. Just follow the links there on the website, and you know, follow us on Twitter as well if you've got any questions, especially relating to Supercoach, who you should play, you should leave out. At TigersMS78 or at Paulie G Sports, we'll help you out there. And flick us a like on the Facebook page, Paulie G Sports. We'd love to get that up there. It's heading towards 100, so it'd be nice to break that, especially considering it is our milestone 50th show. Let's go straight into this week's games now and the preview for round 15. Only the four games, of course, this week with the split round in effect. Start with the Bulldogs and the Roosters. Friday night footy. The Roosters, they're on a downswing. They're without Maloney, Jennings and Pearce. They will probably find this one very tough. Sonny Bill Williams is in fine form. He's worth retaining from a Supercoach perspective. But other Roosters players should be played only in need. Bulldogs will also be without a key player in Josh Reynolds. And they're also missing Josh Morris, of course. But James Graham, still a must-buy if you haven't got him already, as is Trent Hodkinson. He's kicking goals and scoring very well at a very decent cost. Michael Ennis is now a hold. Dogs have buys in round 16 and 19. Big names Farron Smith will be available again soon. Probably better options in the long run. But the Roosters are still tough to score against, so be aware about playing too many Dogs players. But, of course, it's a heavy bye week, so you may have no option. If so, the best players then would be front rowers who at least perform only slightly below average when playing the Roosters this year. Tigers MS, how do you see it going?
Look, it's a tough one. I'm going to say the Bulldogs, just because of the form they showed. In recent times. The win against Manly, although controversial, they played pretty tough, and Manly are a fairly tough team, especially at home. So I think they'll get over the top of the Roosters here. The guy who I think is a possible goodbye from this game is Tim Lafay.
Yeah, he's had some big rounds, so if he can pull off another one, you'll be laughing. Pete, how do you see the game going?
Bulldogs have just been winning the last few weeks, just done enough to win. Roosters were disappointing against the Warriors on Sunday, and a few players out there, but I think that they can just get over the Bulldogs in this one. I think it will be a very close match. I look to see Daniel Mortimer have a big game in a rare first grade start, but I think he'd be up for a big one. Of course, Sonny Bill up against his old club, add a little bit more spice for the Doggy supporters.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to Daniel Mortimer at halfback as well, but I can't shy away from the Dogs here either. Saturday footy, Tigers v the Raiders out at Campbelltown. The Tigers are back at home, so that helps them out. And Chris Lawrence, he hasn't been named. He's supposed to be back, but as we saw last Monday, two guys in Blake Ashford and James Tedesco came back even though they weren't named. Liam Fulton and James Tedesco came back even though they weren't named. So potentially Lawrence will be back. However, the Raiders have a very good record at Campbelltown and obviously are in good form. Tigers are the easiest score off as far as Supercoach is concerned. So play all Raiders at your leisure, particularly outside backs. Obviously, Blake Ferguson is suspended. So Jack Whiten might get more and more ball thrown his way over the upcoming weeks. Reece Robinson will also be relied on more from the back. Shandor Earl returned to the team last week with Edric Lee's injury, and now Sammy Saluma could be a very good pickup, cheapy on the other wing. Certainly a nice stash if you had the room. Paul Vaughan is an unlikely name. He continues to impress and be a good pickup. And David Shillington, you'd think, would be out to have a big game after being dumped from the Queensland lineup. Tigers MS, is there any Tigers players that you look at considering Aaron Woods is missing with Origin, and as is Robbie Farrow? They're two big scorers.
Look, to be honest, the only guy would be Nofu Alamu. He has been scoring tries, and he does know his way to the try line. But apart from that,
he's hit or miss. He only got 22, I believe, this week.
Yeah. That's the only guy who I can really recommend if you have to have a Tigers player in there playing.
Yeah, the sleeper, I guess, is Suaso Sui. He put up 74 last week and has generally been managing in the 40s. He's moved his way to the starting lineup now, had been coming off the bench. Yeah. So,
apart from that, stay well away from the Tigers. I'm sure the crowd will be doing on Saturday, the Raiders will win by a lot.
Yeah, I'm with the Raiders too. Pete, any dissenting voice?
Nah, Raiders all the way. Very disappointed with the Tigers on Monday. Defence was pretty ordinary. And they've also got an Astor out for a few more weeks too. He hurt himself in that match. So, the Raiders for mine.
Yeah, huge blow, Brayton Astor. And he must be looking across to the Sydney Roosters how well they've been going this year, going, oh, how did this happen to me? Sunday footy, Eels and the Rabbitohs. I tell you what, the Eels, this would have been a game, definitely a danger game for the Rabbitohs. The Eels perform considerably better at home, and obviously South's missing Greg Inglis and Chris McQueen, as well as Nathan Merritt and George Burgess. So it's probably a good week to come up against them for the Eels, but you'd think the form of John Sutton, Adam Reynolds would ensure a South's victory. Reynolds is definitely the buy of the week at this point from a Supercoach perspective, but you do have to monitor his health. He sustained a niggle injury in the win over the Titans last week. Make sure he's okay before you lock him in. Sam Burgess wasn't at his peak last week, but I think against the Eels it could be over 100 for him. We saw Paul Gallen rank up the big numbers this week against Parramatta. The back rowers do enjoy playing against the Eels. They notoriously struggle containing them. Dylan Walker is a guy I mentioned last week as a sleeper. I think he still could be a good addition, depending on what room you've got. Andrew Everingham is another guy, as is Bryson Goodwin, who's in the back line. That could be good additions. Eels Matt Ryan is a consistent bet. The other roughies like Pat O'Hanlon didn't put up big points last week, as neither did Jake Mullaney, so perhaps it's just waiting on them until at least after Parramatta's bye in round 16. Ricky Stewart seems to be changing his team very rapidly from one week to the next. Tigers are messed from a Supercoach perspective. How do you pick anyone from Parramatta?
Look, the only guy who I could possibly look at picking would be Tim Manor. He's been putting up some 40s and 50s, which... You know, if you have to have him in the team or have to have a para player in your team, he's probably the guy to go with. apart from that, everyone else is not really going crash hot. I can see Sutton and Reynolds scoring a lot of points in this game, and South scoring a lot of points as well. I see the game is scheduled for ANZ Stadium, but it's a Parramatta home game. I'm not sure if I've got the right information there.
Yeah, that's correct.
So that's an interesting move by the Eels. Must be a money thing for them to move away from Paris Stadium. I don't think it would matter if they played on the moon. See, I'll win.
I've got to agree, Pete. Is there any way Parramatta can win this one?
No. By the way, with the ground year, the Eels normally play two or three games at ANZ Stadium a year. They usually play Canterbury there, but. I guess because it's a South Sydney home ground, they feel they pick up more bunny supporters by going there. But yeah, of course, the money thing. Look, South are missing half a team. Eels are missing Jared Hayne. But South Sydney is still by a mile. As you said, former John Sutton and Adam Reynolds still just all over Parramatta, who led at half time last week but went down big time in the second half.
And finally, Monday night footy, the Titans and the Storm. Titans are generally difficult to score against. Last week, the Rabbitohs did go large up in Cairns, but back to Gold Coast, maybe it will get back to regularity for the Titans. The Storm, of course, don't have their big names there. If you're looking for some of the cheaper players, I guess Ben Hampton is the real roughie. He's been named at 5'8", with Widdop moving to fullback. But maybe Maurice Blair's been playing pretty well of late. And before the injury, Ryan Hinchcliffe was putting up decent numbers, so he could also be another guy who may have greater duties this week. Albert Killiade and Caesar and Will Zillman are the Titans' best, and I think they can be played safely, despite the fact the Storm are very tough to score against. Tigers MS, anything that you predict?
If you're going for roughies here, maybe Slade Griffin in at the 9 for the Storm and Anthony Don for the Titans. Apart from that, it's a pretty hard game to pick. I'm going to go the Titans. I think they should have won last week, and they might learn from that, and especially with a weakened against a weakened Melbourne outfit.
Pete, who do you think is going to win?
Yeah, a great opportunity for the Gold Coast. Very lucky to get the Melbourne Storm with a very weakened lineup. Definitely the Gold Coast for mine. They've still got a pretty decent forward pack. They've got the back three: Harrison, Mark Minicello, Dave Taylor. They're the team to go for that one.
Yeah, I'm going to go the Titans as well. And just from a Supercoach perspective, looking at teams at the buys, North Queensland, St George, the Warriors, Brisbane and Newcastle, well, these players should pretty much all be let go unless they're high-impact players like Josh Dugan, Corey Parker or Matt Gillett. No players should be bought from these teams at this juncture unless you've got the room to keep them on your bench. It's a good time to play tactics, of course. If you are near the top half of your competitions, then you can be a bit more free with that. If you're fighting to get into the top eights, then you really need to each week make the smart decisions. You can't afford to lose anything due to having players on the bench. Look, if you do have the chance to start freeing some room for Origin players to return, now is definitely the time to do it. Looking at the flip side, teams like Manly and Cronulla have completed their two buys after this week are definitely targets. Brenton Lawrence, George Tafua, John Morris and Todd Carney may be picked up this week in view of becoming first team regulars for the remainder of the season. You've got four trades this week, so it could be a good week to restructure, but remember you're going to need trades to cover injury and suspension down the road, so play it smart. And if you need to win now, use those four trades to get guys in that are playing this week. All right, guys, so we need to keep moving along. World of sport time, and, Barcelona's hot-tempered midfield, Javier Mascherano, he was given his marching orders in a game of Argentina versus Ecuador in soccer, of course, after twice kicking the driver of a medical buggy. The midfielder admitted he was embarrassed and saddened after losing the plot against Ecuador. The former Liverpool and West Ham anchorman, who was in action for Argentina in a World Cup qualifier, was being taken off the field on a stretcher in the 86th minute when he appeared to be squirted with liquid. It seemed to anger the player, who lashed out twice at the driver of the medical buggy, kicking him twice in the shoulder. The referee saw the incident and produced a red card, leaving Mascherano incredulous. But after the game, player showed remorse, apologised for his conduct. He said, "One preaches non-violence in our country, and in this I was mistaken," he said. "My reaction is not justified. I feel ashamed. The stretcher was going too fast, and I was about to fall. I warned him, the driver, and he ignored me, but what I did was not justified. I'm big enough to admit mistakes. I'm embarrassed and saddened." The match finished in a 1-1 draw. That's all we have time for, guys. But enjoy Origin next week. It should be another great game. Let's hope on the field is takes over from off the field. And, guys, we will see you next week for more NRL talk and Supercoach predictions, of course. Tigers MS, thanks for this week.
No worries.
And, Pete, we'll see you next week too.
Yeah, see you next week, guys. Have a good one.
Going off in a medical buggy, remember, leave the kicking on the field. Of course, you can download all the shows at www.pauliegsport.com. This is NRL Live Supercoach. We'll see you next week. That was 50th show. We did it. We got through it. Now it's time to aim for 100. Bye now.